So basically, we're talking about Ramban. Basically, almost the first Ramban in Masech Shabbos. And basically, he's taking up the same problem of Tosa. So why do you have the Ani and the Ashir? Why do you need the Ani and the Ashir? So he says, because of Tosa Chedesh. He says, because, a little bit different Tosa. He says, because, really, because in Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to carry heavy things. And in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, carrying from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even a tiny little thing, a grogress, you're going to be chayyah for, a date, a fit, whatever. So you're going to be chayyah for that. So he says, you see, it's a Chedesh. So that doesn't make any sense, but that's a Chedesh. So, and he says, you see, you know, in no other malachos do you limit it based upon Rosh Hashanah. But you see, in the Hotzal, you limit it based upon Rosh Hashanah. So he says, therefore, it's a Chedesh, and therefore, you can't learn anything out from anything. You can't learn anything from Ashir, and therefore, you need two psakim. Okay? So we noted, we said the harder problem is, what do you mean, in no other malacha do you have anything to do with Rosh Hashanah? In no other malacha do Rosh Hashanah make any sense? What do you want it to be? That you can't cook only in Rosh Hashanah or only in Rosh Hashanah? There's nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Here, the whole idea of Hotzal is changing the makom, and which makom, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. So that the Rosh Hashanah is a natural idea. Location and place is a natural idea in Malachas Hotzah. So what's he saying? Is that Hotzah is an exception because you don't have a Chiluk Rishuyos in other Malachos? It just doesn't lend itself to it altogether. The whole thing sounds crazy to even imagine having those categories just carried over to other Malachos. Okay? Well, the other problem is that the Ramban says is that, and he kind of explains Tosas this thing more, but he says is that within Rosh Hashanah you could carry a big heavy thing, but even to Rosh Hashanah you can't carry a light thing. We said, what does heavy and light have anything to do with Hotzah? Heavy and light has nothing to do with Hotzah. Because it has nothing to do with Malacha. Malacha is not hard work, it's not labor, it's productivity. So who cares if it's heavy or if it's light? Heavy or light isn't part of the thing. The question is, am I changing location or not changing location? So why is Ramban seems to be bringing in an alien type of an idea based upon how heavy and how hard it is to move the thing. It just doesn't seem to belong. Okay. So we're saying like this, and I'm going to say it a little bit differently than that. Basically, what the Ramban's point is, the way the Ramban's explaining it is, he's trying to show that Melachas Hotzah is not a malacha, which is like this. Normally in malacha, the iser is to be productive. Okay? To be productive. And then each category of the malacha, each category of malacha is a category of productivity. Right? So cooking is to make a thing edible through heat. I don't know, whatever. Planting is to help seeds grow. It could be by putting them in the water or in the ground, or it could be by watering them. They're both the same halacha. Watering it and putting it in the ground, the same halacha. How is it the same halacha? Because it's the same productivity. Even though the tzuras hamaisa, the form, is totally different, putting something in the ground and pouring water on the floor, two totally different things. But the malacha is not a tzuras hamaisa, so to speak. It's not an action. It's like an involvement, a human productivity, a class of human productivity. And therefore, malachos, they're categories of productivity, and the form of the action is a detail. The form is not relevant. The form is basically, are you doing the form which is most productive, or are you not doing the form which is most productive? There's no particular form of an activity. Okay. Now, what Ramban trying to show is that Hotzah is not like that. Okay, Hotzah is not a malacha where the Torah is asering a category of human productivity. He says, for two reasons. He says, first of all, the real productivity of Hotzah, he holds, is only by heavy objects. Okay, why? Because heavy objects have a location, intrinsic. Intrinsic in a heavy object, it's fixed. Heavy objects don't move. So heavy objects really have a location. And therefore, moving a heavy object is really changing the location of an object. But a light object, like a coffee mug, doesn't have a location. Yesterday it was here, now it's here. It's moving all around. And the location by a light object really is like totally accidental. Just where it happens to be at this given moment. But that's not productivity. Productivity isn't changing something. Changing something which is about to be changed in the next second. In fact, it's halacha and malacha. If you do malacha, you write your name in the sand. It's not really malacha because it doesn't have kin. It's not permanent. So in general, malacha, productivity, has to have some sort of permanence to it. So the location of a light object, of a grogress, of a fig, simply it doesn't really have a location. Location is, it's not like a real property of an object. It's just it's a temporary accidental state. So he says, that's not malacha. The productivity of hotsa is really when you have a heavy object which really has location as a real property of the object, and then you change that. So now you're really doing productivity of malacha of hotsa. That's the productivity of hotsa. And if it were the fact that the Torah, the hotsa is like any other malacha, that would have been the halacha. You can't move heavy objects from one place to another place. I don't care if it's just Yachar Shazram, who really cares? Rosh Yachar Shazram has nothing to do with it. Okay, has nothing to do with it. His idea is it was this location, now it's that location. Why should it only be that like Tosas? Why should it only be Rosh Yachar Shazram? That's extraneous. But another point is that it really shouldn't have even been productivity by carrying out a light thing. That's not the productivity of hotsa. Okay? But for instance, if hotsa followed that productivity, you'd realize that there would be very little cases of hotsa. Right? I mean, hotsa really would be a very, like, almost, so to speak, a rare malacha. It'd be a rare malacha, because how often do you move heavy things? That's the whole thing. They're very heavy, and you don't move them so much.
Well, there are malachas that are rare.
There are. Fine, that's true. I'm not saying it's intrinsically a problem. I'm just saying that is the fact. Okay? And also, it would also be hard... You could argue it would be hard to quantify. Okay? You could argue it would be hard to quantify.
How heavy?
How heavy. You say? So the answer would have to be heavy enough where the location becomes a property of the object. But it's a hard kind of a structure. Okay? So, but for whatever reason, I mean, I'm not sure, maybe it's because the Torah wanted to make Hotsa to be very frequent. Okay? Like it sounds funny, but I mean, Rebbe had a svara by Borer, which is that an idea, similar type of an idea, which, I mean, it could be a borrow from that, but something like that. But he only says that by Borer, really, the real Borer should only have been if you're doing a certain kind of a Borer, like in a factory, kind of, like in you're doing in the granary, so that kind of a thing. Like Borer, when you're eating, is not the productivity of Borer. Borer is really in the Otsa, the storehouse, which is the Torah wanted to make Borer. So to speak, like Malachas Shabbos really affects a person's life because of Borer. I mean, it's one of the Malachas which is very, very common. And I think Otsa also. Certain Malachas, like every Shabbos involves Borer, and every Shabbos involves Otsa. You know, there's certain Malachas. So what he said by Borer is that the Torah wanted to make to Malacha Shabbos to impact your life in a concrete way, and what it did is it kind of extended Borer to even cases which are not really in the storehouse, but which like resemble it in a certain sense. It like extended the Borer beyond the normal lines of what Borer should have been. You know, so I'm saying it could be. You could say a similar kind of thing here is that Hotsah, if that form of Hotsah basically would have been very uncommon, and it could be forever. For whatever reason, maybe for that reason, if not for that reason, for some other reason, the Torah went away from the productivity of Otsa, and what it did is it so to speak, it created a Maisa Esser. It made, Malacha normally is not a Maisa Esser. Normally Malacha is a class of human productivity, and it's always measured by the productivity. But here what the Torah did is it made Otsa into like an action. And what are the parameters of the action? See, the action, you can't say heavy and light. In productivity, you could have said heavy and light, because heavy and light are based upon the productivity and the property of location, you know, when it's heavy or light. But in a Tzura Samaisa, heavy and light, forget about it. That definitely can't be a form of an action, because there's no line. And and also, so what's the action going to be? Just moving an object? Any object? Just moving it? Anywhere? That's impossible. And you wouldn't be able to touch any objects all day. So the form which the Torah chose is that it's to move an object from Shaziyah to Shasarab. Okay? It really could have been moving an object anywhere. But the Torah came in the interests of creating a Tzura Samaisa of Hotsa'ah, the way the Torah did it is it used Rishuyos. It used Rishuyos. But not because there's an intrinsic sense to Rishuyos. It's so to speak, it was looking for a form, and it really could have been anywhere. But it, so to speak, artificially chose Rishuyos to be the way it's gonna to you know formalize the Maisa of Otsa. Okay? The Maisa of Otsa is moving an object from a Shazel Shazrab. Okay? But not because the productivity lends itself to that. Okay? Now once you say that, it sounds funny. But once you say that, now you can see why it would be possible by other malachos also to say it. Okay, because by other malachos it's true their productivity has nothing to do with location. But neither does Hotsa's productivity also has nothing to do with Shazel Shazrab. But the reason why the Torah put in Rishei Hilchos Rambam is in that was the form of the action that the Torah created in Hotzah. It just brought that in. So it could have, if there were other malachos that the Torah basically said, forget the productivity, let's just make it Tzuras HaMaisa, we could have also said, you know what, only do it in this action in a certain location. But you don't see there's anything like that, and there's a good reason why there's nothing like that, because every other malacha follows the productivity. But this malacha is really, and I think what someone said yesterday, who said it? You said it maybe. Is that it doesn't mean, it could be it doesn't mean literally, you want to say yes, it doesn't mean literally only the idea of changing the location. We said like other different types of factors. You don't see all these kinds of technical, right. but it could mean, see I say yes, but that's not what he says. But I think it could also be true. He means location. He definitely means location. He could have done location by other malachos, or could have done any other particular factors in formalizing a strict Tzuras HaMaisa. But it doesn't do any of that stuff by other malachos, because other malachos follow their natural productivity. But notzah, it's not, the idea of Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with productivity. If it does, then he doesn't have a kasha. It has to do with simply the fact that Torah had to create a Tzuras HaMaisa, a Maisa Isser of Otsa, and the way it did it was it picked Rosh Hashanah. So Johnny asks, he says, but it's strange that if the Torah is trying to make a Tzuras HaMaisa of Otsa, that you'd think that big objects inside you should somehow Aser. And I think that's exactly the Ramban's point of that the Torah didn't do that, not because yeah, that's how he's showing that it's not productivity, because that which you think is the model of productivity is mutter, and that which is not productive, a little gray, a little date, is awesome. But I'll still answer your question. I know I didn't answer your question, but I think his point is that, see, if it were based on productivity, you could have differentiated between heavy and light. You'll say, where do you draw the line? And the answer is, like I said before, and I think it's true, is that it would be a conceptual line where the object has a location. You'd have to figure out how exactly to work that out. But the fact that that's amorphous doesn't matter, because that is human productivity. So productivity goes by that kind of stuff. I mean, it goes by what is the real, when have you reached the quality of productivity? So it would be based upon a quality of productivity. Heavy and light as an action, though, is definitely, there's no way to have an action of heavy and light. That just doesn't, then you have to have a line. You can't just have a conceptual line. That's already not like an action. Like when you're formalizing an action, you can't have that kind of a line. But when you're talking about the human being productive, malachas machshavas, then you could have had like a conceptual criteria like that. You know what I mean? So in order to accomplish making Hotzah into the malacha that it wants to, it had to make it into a Tzuras HaMaisa. It had to go away from the productivity and create a Tzuras HaMaisa. Now in doing so, it's true, you're going to have to give up on that, on the real productivity of Hotzah. It's true. But I think it's also, what would help that is, he says, the problem, maybe it's bothering you, will be helped by this, is that if he shows that Hotzah, you need a separate pasuk to teach you Hotzah in the first place. So like we said yesterday, that Hotzah isn't as productive as other malachos. You know what I mean? So even though that is the real productivity of Hotzah, it seems if you don't have a pasuk, you wouldn't even know Hotzah was awesome. So it's not like the Torah is allowing you to do this thing which is really the height of productivity. It's the model of productivity within the world of Hotzah. You know what I mean? But Hotzah itself is a chiddush that productivity is being recognized by the Torah. So the Torah is recognizing that productivity, but not in the way of other malachos, like just saying that productivity. But it's kind of using the productivity, but modeling a Tzuras HaMaisa out of this class of human productivity. You know what I mean? And in doing so, that's what the Ramban is showing, is that it's crazy, because it's crazy in terms of a malacha, because the height of productivity is mutter, and the lowest productivity is Aser. But that's what I think he's showing, is that it's not like a normal malacha. It's really just like a Tzuras HaMaisa. That's why it doesn't fit into the normal rules of malachas. According to the Ramban, Hotzah isn't really like a malacha. It's like a malacha, and it's not like a malacha. It's like a malacha because it's based upon the productivity. But it took on the form of a Maisa Eser. So it's a malacha in the basis, in the foundation of the thing, it's a malacha, because it's a class of human productivity. But the form that it took on was a form of a strict action of a Maisa Eser, and not the form of a malacha. I mean, but it's still malacha, but it just, the way it, 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 if it materialized as a halachic structure, it was not the the structure of malacha. But the idea of the thing is still malacha sotzah. You know what I mean? But the structure, I mean, it's... I think, you'll see, I think this, with this premise, the rest of the Ramban will fit into place. Okay? And I think we'll be able to help understand the machlokas between Tosas and the Ramban. Because I think what you're saying, right, that's right, Johnny. We have not been saying this until now. Until now, we've been saying it's based upon productivity, but it limited it. It limited the productivity. It drew lines within the productivity, which were unnatural lines. But it was still, the concept was still the same as all other malacha. It just had these arbitrary lines going on. Here, it's like a different type of a structure. True. But let's go further on. I think we could, you'll see, we'll end up explaining a lot of things. I mean, I think this chiluk, well, you'll see, will bear fruits. Okay, so let's go from the Ramban. Okay, so the Ramban basically, his first kasha is, he basically starts lodging some questions on Tosfos, and he doesn't like this whole idea of the, again, Tosfos' point is that you need two psukim. There definitely are two psukim by Yotza, arguably. But the two psukim Tosfos says are for Ani and Asher. Okay, and he's essentially not going to like that. But he basically asks a question. First he has a question on Tosfos. He says, V'i kasha l'cha, he says, according to this logic, he says, well, why do you chayiv misa for how do you know you're chayiv misa for otzah? I know you're chayiv misa for malacha, but now you're telling me that otzah is a whole new malacha. He says, how do you know you're chayiv misa for it? Who told you that you're chayiv misa for it? Right? If you don't have batzik to teach me that, maybe not. He says,
what's really lav in the asara there?
Asara is like a lav. So Shemana means like the warning. But so is a word for a lav.
So it just uses the lashon twice?
No, the lav yatzasa is, because there's a Gemara that say like Havara, the lav yatzas, because it says Havara. It's a question in the Gemara, because Torah says L'svarish b'chol moshel seicham. So what's that teaching you? Once she holds it, it's telling you the lav yatzas means that the lighting of fire is only a lav. It's not, it's just lashon. He's using the lashon of the Gemara. The lav yatzas means the fact that Torah is giving a lav, maybe it's only a lav. He says, and then he says, yeah, so that being the case, Asora Shamanu Onish Minayim. So we know the warning, we know the law. From this part of the law, where do you have that Onish?
Okay.
So Yeshua Lashalcha, you could answer, Kimon Shalaisa B'Mishkan, since it is in the Mishkan, it was, so to speak, productive. We ask Kachon the Kapitol Rachmana B'Lav, and you see the Torah did Asar it. Hodra Lachal Sharon Lachshay Mishkan, so basically, it goes back to the class, it's like everything else was in the Mishkan. And everything else in Mishkan, you get the onesh, and so to here, okay. So to here, you get the onesh. But he doesn't like it. Okay, he really holds that you shouldn't be onesh. So we see apparently Tosfos wasn't bothered by this question. Tosfos apparently, I mean, clearly everyone holds you get onesh for otzah, and Tosfos didn't bring it up altogether. And so why?
What
does Mechorin mean? Clear, they're not clear. He knows it's a malach. He's saying, how do you know that you got an onesh for this malach? Because this malach he's saying is a chiddush. Torah had to come and teach you that you get the that it's a malach. If you didn't have a pasuk, you'd say it's not a malach. Even those in the Mishkan, you'd say it's not a malach. Now the Torah came along and told you, you know what? You're not allowed to do otzah. Okay, you're not allowed to do otzah. But did it ever tell me that if I do otzah, I'm chayv misa? Never told me that. So how do I know that? So he's saying you could say, well, Torah is telling you to include it with the other malachas.
By telling you it's
asur. By telling you it's asur, it's telling you it was in the Mishkan. But just being in the Mishkan wouldn't make it asur. But now the Torah is telling you, you know what, it is asur. So it's saying, that thing which is in the Mishkan, yeah, put it with the rest of the malachas. Oh, so therefore you get the onesh like all other malachas. Okay, that's, he's saying, you know, he knows you can answer that. You could say that, but he doesn't like it. He says it's not really so good. I mean, it's not clear if he doesn't like that or he doesn't like the whole pshat. But I mean, that's the way you could have answered. Okay, but he doesn't like that also, because you'll see, he ends up saying that, no, really, that's what you need the pasuk for, to teach you that it's asur, that you get onesh. Okay? But let's try to understand this. Why, what's the question? According to Tosfos, it doesn't seem, he definitely doesn't need the pasuk for that. So according to Tosfos, you do get an onesh. But according to the Ramban, you really would not get the onesh if not for a pasuk. You need a pasuk to teach me that. And that's what he goes on. He says, he basically goes on to say that. You need the pasuk to teach me the onesh. Okay, so what's that question? Why do you need a pasuk?
Yeah, I mean,
then it follows through. It's because according to Tosfos, the way we were learning is that really Hotsa'ah partakes of a certain productivity. Not that productive, but it has a productivity. Now, if you didn't have any psukim, you would say it's not malacha. But now the Torah comes and tells you, you know what, this is also malacha. It was in the Mishkan, and this is also malacha. But it limits the productivity to the highest form of the productivity from Shiyalish Rabbin. It's a limited form of productivity. That's what we were learning Tosfos, right? But it is productivity, and that's malacha. Malacha is productivity. This is a class of productivity which the Torah included within the Lamed Latas Malachos. It's one of the malachos. It's productivity. It's the highest form. It's a malacha garua, so the structure has these lines drawn in the middle of it. But why is that going to say you should be potter from the Onesh? If you do it according to the lines drawn, then it's really one of the classes of productivity, and it's just like every single other malacha. The fact that the structure is deficient shouldn't take away from the fact that it's just like another malacha, and then you get an onesh for it. But according to the Ramban, that really the Torah, in Lach Sotzah, the Torah is like a whole new idea. It's not really the productivity. It's based on productivity, but it really is like a Maisa Isser. It's like a Maisa Malacha, so to speak, without like the real character of Malacha. And the Torah is Asering this also. The Torah wanted to answer this also. So it's when the Torah wanted to answer it. But did the Torah want to give a skila for that? I mean, how do you know the Torah did? I mean, this is already a whole new type of a structure. So now, how do you know if the person is not really productive on Shabbos, he just does an action, which was, the Isser was based upon the world of productivity, how do you know that you're going to get skila for that? The Torah doesn't say that. It's a little sasta called malacha. It means you're involved in really doing malacha. But you're not really involved in doing malacha. You're just involved in the maisa, which is like a derivative of a class of malacha. Class of productivity. You need a pasuk to teach me to get an onesh for that. You can't just say automatically you're going to get it. You know what I mean? But in the way we're learning Tosfos, it could be a sonata kasha. Wouldn't bother him. Ramon doesn't use the word malacha grua. He says chiddush. It's a chiddush, and right? He says it's a karos. Yeah. I mean, he also used garua, because Tosfos, it was a garua, because it means it was really like regular malacha, but it just, the structure was garua, because it had these lines drawn in it. The Ramon's learning it's like a chiddush. It could be it's like a different term, you know what I mean? It's like a different, it's a whole new idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a different kind of a structure, according to the Ramban. And it is interesting. He doesn't even call it Malacha Gerua. I mean, I'm sure he would use the word Malacha. I mean, it's Lamtas Malachos. But, I mean, he's not saying it's like, Malacha Gerua sounds like it's the same thing. It just has like a cut in the middle of it. You know, he does treat it differently. So let's go a little further on. So he says like this. Yesh omen delot shrichi trey koi lotza daniel de balabayas. He says, someone argue that you don't need two psukim for the Ani and the Balabayas. Because that was Tosfos' point. You need two psukim for the Ani and the Balabayas. Ramban says, nope. Why? Shilu came, because if it were the fact that you really need two psukim for the Ani and for the Balabayas, have a maninon lehu ba'avos malachos betarti, then you should have counted them as two malachos. If you want to say you need two psukim for it, they should be two malachos, 39 and 40. Hotzal the Ani and Hotzal the Balabayas. Strange, right? Okay, so that's pretty strange, right? So now he's basically, now he has a free pasuk, which he's going to say. He says, rather, al mishon nikos ramon achara, min alav yatsas, min bo mishis bezdem, lakach shon akos, lavi, lachol shon malachos. So therefore, he says, the second pasuk is teaching the onesh. Okay, fine. So the question is, I mean, it sounds funny, right? I mean, what would you say? If you needed two psukim for a hotzah, one for the ani, one for the bias, then it should be two separate malachos? I mean, two separate malachos, I mean, that's pretty extreme, right? And the malachos are different classes of productivity, something. I mean, it's the same thing, it's just ani and ashir. So, it's true you need two psukim to teach me both of them, but to make it two malachos just seems a little bit harsh. And it's amazing how the Ramban could have entertained saying that it's two separate malachos, but he ends up saying is that really no, on the contrary, you only need one pasuk to teach me both, and once you have, they're identical. They're one and the same, and you don't need two. Not only is it not two malachos, you don't even need two pasukim to teach it to me. But apparently, clearly, Tosfos doesn't count it as two malachos.
Right.
Tosfos only counts as one malacha.
I mean,
even though you need two pasukim. But the Ramban basically goes, you don't need two pasukim. Okay, well, that's fine. The Ramban's like, you don't need two pasukim, but if you want to say you do need two pasukim, then count it as two. Like, it's a funny kind of an argument. So I think what Rindy's saying is that the Ramban's saying like this, which again follows with the Chiluk here. is that according to Tosvos, Hutzlah is a class of human productivity. Now, the Torah came and restricted it. Okay, it drew lines and restricted it only to certain instances. Now, therefore, if I only had Ani, I'd say it restricted it to Ani, and it didn't apply to Asher, and vice versa. So, therefore, you need two psukim to show me the extent of how far the Torah applied the productivity of Hotzah. But you can never say that doesn't warrant saying it's two malachos. It's one malacha. It's one productivity. It's Hotzah. What they're just saying is that since it's restricted, you need psukim to teach me how far it goes. Right, but that it doesn't make any sense to say that it should be two malachos. Okay? But according to the Ramban, that really Hotzah is not productivity. Hotzah, the idea of Hotzah and the structure of Hotzah really went away from productivity. And the Torah created an action, Tzura Samaisa. So now you have to ask yourself a question. Is the Ani doing it and the Asher doing it? Are those two separate actions, or is that one action? Okay? Does the fact that he's standing there saying Hotzah Rabban, does that make it into a different action, or do you say that's just an accidental thing and it's the same exact action? So he says, if you want to tell me that it's the same exact action, so then you don't need another pasuk. Then it's just one pasuk. And if you want to tell me that really, no, those are very different. In the world of action, those are very different. And you need two pasukim to teach me them because they're very different. Oh, well, then there's two malachos. Because how are you going to unify them? Based on productivity, but this is not a structure of productivity, it's a structure of an action. If you want to tell me there are two actions, then it's going to have to be two malachos, because it's two totally separate classes of activity. You know what I mean? So Elamai, but no one ever thought to count Hotzah as two malachos, so it must be that they're really the same action, and whether you're serious or shesrabim doesn't really make a difference. Also, if that's the case, then you don't need two psukim for it, and then it's basically one pasuk to tell you, Ani and Asher, how can you differentiate? It's the same exact action. Like, I don't think he really has the svara exactly. He's just saying, in the world of action, if you want to tell me that they're different, then you can come to a crazy conclusion. But I hold they're not different, and they shouldn't be different. Why should they be different? You know what I mean? So he's saying there's no reason for two psukim for Aniyan and Ashir. But again, in the world of Tosos, it makes sense that they're two psukim, because he's saying the Torah is limiting the productivity. And since there's the Gavra of productivity in Rishon Yachid and the Gavra of productivity in Rishon Rabim, like we showed us, there's two different spheres of function of the human being, and the Torah is restricting the productivity of a Hotzah. If you only told me one, you would not have a right to extend. But now that you do extend, it doesn't mean therefore now it's two malachos, because it's still all this one productivity. Okay? Again, I think the Ramban here is working. His attack on Tosfos is based upon his way of learning Tosfos. I think that's true. I think he's saying it's right. Is that the way he elaborates on Tosfos in a way which Tosfos doesn't do. That's the way he understands him, and he, assuming that understanding, he's asking these kashas. You know what I mean? But that's the way he holds. He holds the other way, it doesn't make sense. Apparently he doesn't like Tosfos' idea. You know what I mean? Maybe Rishonim do that. Now here's one problem. See, because he's basically claiming that Ani and Asher are basically the same, right?
That's why it's the Mishnah.
Exactly. It's what are the Mishnah. Because there's a reason why Tosfos initially got started by why does our Mishnah have Ani and Asher? So he said, oh, I'll tell you why, because the Pasuk has Ani and Asher. So he says, oh, wait a second, why does the Pasuk have two Pesukim for Ani and Asher? So he gives this whole explanation. And the Ramban says, no, you don't need two Pesukim for Ani and Asher. Well, now you just took down the answer of why the Mishnah have Ani and Asher. Because now you Ramban, are saying Ani and Asher are the same exact thing. So now why does the Mishnah have them both? You're back to the same problem. Okay? So then he gives a different answer. Okay? But I want to read it in the Rashba, because it's a little cryptic in the Ramban, and I think they're saying the same thing. But it's easier to read. I mentioned it yesterday, but the footnote tells you a little. Footnote tries it in the Ramban, and if you have the Ramban, the footnote, he explains what the Ramban's talking about. If you want, we'll read in the Rashba, then afterwards I could show you why I think, and the footnote also thinks so, that the Ramban's saying the same thing. But I think it's just an easier read.
I like it.
It's easier read. Okay, so he says like this. I'm jumping in the middle of the Rashba, but he says al hacha de hotzos mishtanos zumi zu. The hotzos are different from each other. She hotzos ha ani chashuva she moshech laatzmo, because the hotzos of the ani, he's outside. The ani's outside. So imagine you have the cell phone on the table and he sticks it in there and he pulls it towards him. He says that's a chashuv hotzos, because he's bringing it to himself. That's very significant. He says, Eino domel otzos balabayis shem motzi mimena, because if the butt of the balabayis is in the house and he pushes it outside, then he's getting rid of it. So he says, that's a last chashav. You know what I mean? So it has to teach me, this is teaching me that they're both included in the malachas otzah. Don't think that otzah is only where you bring it towards you and now you could use it. But it's even where you push it away from you. Even when you push it away from you. So that's what the Mishnah is teaching you both. The Ani and Ashi are they're both cases. So you'll ask, so how do you know both? Where are the Pesukim?
Have the Mishnah know.
So you're right in Rosh Hashanah. If you're going to tell me that really they're different, and now you have a problem, is how do you know them both? So he basically says, they're not really that different. They're not really that different. Okay, that's I think the Ramban is like that's all right. Then the Ramban says it. He says, right. But basically, they say it's Yerushalmi. It's amazing. It's Yerushalmi. It is, and this sounds like what Yerushalmi is saying. It says, "Amar of Yosi, ani ve'asher echad heim, umanu osam chachamim shtayim." Okay, really, the ani and asher are one, but the Ramban counted it as two. Since their hotzos are different, right? Because Ani is bringing it to where he's standing. And that's really the way of hotzah, the general way of hotzah. While Vais motzi merishas hayachid shehu ba ulurishas she'enu omeid sham. And the other, the Vais is putting it away from him. So he says, but on the other hand, it's echad. It's manuach kachamim shtayim. These things really, it's only one. And the pasuk is only one, but the chachamim counted it as two. But the question is, what kind of sense does that make? If it's really two, then the marashach. Either you're telling me that it's two, then you need to pasuk him, or you'll tell me it's one. Then why does Mishnah have two? Why is it different? So what needs a pasuk and what the Mishnah is going to write? So David's saying it. For I mean, we don't go further, but
right,
his first step is that he's saying is that the Torah, what the Torah needs to teach you, isn't necessarily the Mishnah needs to teach you. The Mishnah is going to write to dispel false notions that a person may have. It doesn't mean everything that the Mishnah has to dispel is a legitimate havimina that it could have been the halacha and the Torah. That's not necessarily true. Could be that the Torah writes it, and you have the Chazal know how to derive something. But it doesn't mean the Mishnah is written for everybody. At least for not every chacham could necessarily figure out and exclude the possibility. So it's, the Mishnah is written in a way that's excluding. Don't think to differentiate between Ani and Ashir, but really they're the same. Do you need a pasuk to teach me? No, you don't need a pasuk to teach you that. If you really know how to learn well, you'll see that you should. It's really misvara. You could come to that conclusion, but it doesn't mean that the Mishnah doesn't write it. That's what you're saying, and that's what the Yerushalmi is saying. It's really echad umanu achacham emshtayim. That's what it's saying. That openly. Is what it's saying. But openly, yeah, that is what it's saying. But the question is, here's the way the take I want to have on it. It's like Tosus wasn't interested in this chiluk between Ani and Asher. Tosus didn't mention this whole thing. Right, according to Tosas, he didn't make any. Someone tried to explain this in Tosas, but Tosas was not mechalek whether you're bringing it towards you or bringing it away from you. Okay, he does not even learn that the Mishnah was mechalek like that, but the Ramban is. Right, Tosas explained Ani and Ashir based upon the gavra where you're standing, not direction. Where you're standing, and forget direction. But the Ramban, he's making the schilak of where you're standing, of where you're bringing it, which way you're going. The question is, could we explain why that is?
What do you mean, Tosas?
Because according to Tosas, the issue was not whether you bring it towards you or away from you. That was not an issue. There's no havmin like that. The issue was whether you're a gavra versus the other or a gavra versus the rab. Bringing it either way, one way or the other way, did not make any difference according to Tosas. He didn't mention anything like that. According to the Ramban, he's saying, no, on the contrary, gavra, whether you're versus the other versus the rab is irrelevant. But bringing it towards you, bringing it away from you, that you could have been mechalik. So I just want to know, could we explain that? Is that just, you know, they just, whatever, is that, could we explain why that is? Okay, so here, I'm telling you this. The difference, in what framework is bringing it towards you, away from you, different, and in what framework is it the same? So I say is that in terms of the action of the gavra, you could argue it's different. Because in one of them you bring it towards you, and the other one you're pushing away from you. Right? The different types of actions. But in terms of the chafza, it makes no difference. Okay? Because it's the object is going from Rishiyach to Shul Sarab. Okay? Because towards you, away from you. Malacha isn't you. Malacha, like in productivity of Malacha, it's not about you. It's It's different from cooking for me or from cooking for someone else. There's no difference. Productivity is productivity. The object has undergone a productive change. It was in Rishon Yachid and now it's in Rishon Rabbah. Who cares if we bring it towards me or away from me? Bring it towards me, but away from me, towards the Baal Bayis. So it's, I'm not sure, I give it towards the Baal Bayis. It's productive for him. When is it? There's no rule, Malach has to be productive for you. It's measured in terms of the Chafta, objectively. Is there productivity or not? Now, if your framework of Hotzoi is one of productivity, it's Dover Pasha that productivity is measured by the Chafta, and there's no way you'd be able to distinguish between pushing and pulling. It doesn't make any difference. The question is the Chafta going from Mishnah to one to one or to the other? So what's the change in the Chafta? Okay? Right. Same to this, right. It doesn't matter where you happen to be, you know, whether it's going towards you or away from you. Okay, it could have, the one thing you could have had is whether the Gavra is a Gavra versus Yechor versus Rabin, because the Gerua are limited only to certain types of people. That you could have had. But whether you're bringing the object towards you or not is irrelevant, because the question is, what's happening to the object? What's the productivity in terms of the object? Okay. But according to the Ramban, that there's a Tzura Samaisa, that really they tell me Melacha is a Tzura Samaisa, it's not really productivity. So now in the Tzura Samaisa, you could have argued that the Tzura Samaisa of pulling and Tzura Samaisa of pushing are different. Bringing it towards you is one Tzura Samaisa, and bringing it over, pushing it away from you is a different Tzura Samaisa. Okay, you may have thought that. The Mishnah is teaching you not that way. And it seems like you don't even need a Pasuk, though. It seems like even if you hold it's a Maisa, the Maisa could be defined in terms of the Chafta. Okay, and even in a Maisa, the Maisa could be moving the object from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That could be the action. Or the action could be moving the object away from you or moving the object towards you. It seems like even the Ramban is saying, and the Torah really holds there one, you don't need two Psukim. It really holds that the Maisa is change the Maisa of changing the location of the object. You know what I mean? But someone may think that the Maisa is not changing, moving the object from here to there, but is bringing it away from you or bringing it towards you. And then they would think only the Ani or only bringing it towards you is Asar. So that's why the Mishnah went out of its way to show you that in Maisa, really, they're two different cases. Both cases are Asar. You know what I mean? The Chum explained that that's the nature of the Maisa. But apparently in the Minot Torah, that's clear that that's the nature of the Maisa. The nature of the Maisa is changing the location of the object. And since that's the case, it doesn't really matter whether it's towards you or away from you. The question is the object going across Rosh Hashanah. I mean, so within the Ramban, since it's the world of the action of Hotzah, you could question whether the Maisa is going to be towards you away from you, in which case it's two, or is it just changing the location of the object, in which case they're exactly the same. But according to Tosfos, that the whole framework of Hotzah is really productivity. Productivity is definitely measured in terms of the Chafsa, because it's an objective phenomenon, productivity. Productivity is not defined vis-a-vis me, productivity is an objective thing. So therefore, ketosis isn't really, never entertains that possibility. But within the Ramban, it is a question. You know what I mean? Ramban is a question. And therefore, the Mishnah, you know, explained that. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Basically, the Ramban, the rest of the Ramban, he just says one other point, is that he really ends up holding that, yes, question, you have a question. According to the Ramban, it's teaching you that the Maisa is not defined relative to you, but it's defined relative to the object, objectively. Because then it makes sense in Malacha it goes like that. But you could have thought in Maisa it's not going to be, but it's teaching you it is. But within Tosfos, it's not happening like that. The last thing the Ramban does is he really says, he holds that really there's no two psukim. You don't need two psukim for Otsah. You don't need two psukim for the Onesh and the Azara, it seems. Because he basically, that's a different question of how you learn these sigyas about the psukim. But he basically holds that the one of the psukim is not used for Otsah, it's used for Tchum. And basically he shows from that sigya, from the different sigya, we're not in it. But he holds that you really only need one pasuk for Otsah. And he, therefore, it seems like he holds that once you have the lav, you know the onesh. I mean, it seems like he goes back on that. That once you have the lav, even in his framework, it seems like he's learning that once the Torah asks it, then it's just going to come along with the malacha. Seems that way. I mean, I'm not sure exactly his question there. But it seems like that's one other point. That it seems like he goes back on that. It seems to be he holds, even if it's a maisa, you don't need a pasuk to teach you that. Since it's malacha, I mean, I guess that would be the question. Is when you have this malacha, which is, it is a malacha, but the tzura is one of maisa, do you need a pasuk to teach me that you get misa? Because you would have thought that it just goes by the tzura, and it's different. Or you say, no, since bottom line is it's malacha, so then it's clear that then it's going to go along with other malachas. It seems like that's his question, you know? And at the end of the day, it definitely does go along with other malachas. Question is, do you need a pasuk to teach you that or not? I mean, that's the only thing he changes at the end there. Okay, so I think what we'll do is we'll stop here. This is basically the close of this part of the sugya. Okay, I mean now we're going to go on further in the Mishnah, further to other Tosfos and maybe other issues. But if this has been getting long and a little bit complicated, but we're moving on. Okay, so next week we're going further. Okay.
You'll call it
in the. Yeah, I'll let you guys know exactly.
All right.
Okay.